I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Does anyone here remember those magic eye pictures that were popular back in the mid-90s? It was when everyone was crazy for 3D. It was a very new thing. And these pictures were a kind of optical illusion. At first glance, they looked like a big mess of colors and patterns on a canvas. But if you sit still and looked for a long time, the pattern would shift, and you would see a totally different picture emerge, a scene of a countryside or a skyscraper or a beautiful face. I remember when these pictures were first popular. They even had their own store in the mall. And people would stand around this store, looking in the front window displays, squinting and staring at these pictures for sometimes hours. They wanted to try and see what everyone else was seeing. And occasionally, one person in the crowd would get it, and they would jump back and gasp and say, "Look, there it is." And her friends might look at her kind of weird and turn back to the painting and squint, linger a little closer, try so hard to see what she saw. Maybe you were like that person. Maybe it took you just a second to look at this magical picture and see this picture emerge. But most of us were standing there struggling, wondering if we would ever see what everyone else was experiencing. When we live our lives as Christians in the world, I think that we hope that we would get to be that person that says, "Look, I get it. The whole picture of God's holiness right there in front of me." I think a lot of us hope that we want to have this amazing experience of God's glory, one that does make sense, but it transforms us and motivates us to be better. We might even be a little bit jealous of those people in our lives that have had amazing experiences with God, moments when they knew without a doubt that God was right there next to them. But not everybody gets that. We don't always get these moments when everything clicks with God. We don't get to live our entire lives at the top of the mountain, close to Jesus and wowed by his power and his glory. We live out our faith down in the valley, in the ordinary light of day. So there's an old Irish saying that heaven and earth are no more than about 3 feet apart, meaning they're just so close, right next to each other. So everywhere we go in this world, we have the capacity to stumble into heaven. You could be going about your day in a very ordinary place and suddenly, bam, holiness. You could be dropping your kids off at preschool or walking through the mall, taking a jog in the park, and suddenly holiness is in front of you. It can happen anywhere. An experience like this is something that we could never, ever plan for. And it's in an ordinary space that we recognize that the whole world is saturated with the Spirit of God. And this is what we mean when we talk about Epiphany. An epiphany is a revelation, right? The light bulb going off above the cartoon character's head, right? That's an epiphany. And my shorthand for it is that Irish phrase, moments when you know that heaven and earth are no more than about 3 feet apart. And all throughout this season, we have been hearing stories in Scripture about Jesus's epiphanies. His baptism, changing water into wine, reading Scripture in the synagogue, all of these moments all throughout Jesus's life when something seemed to click. They remind us, these stories remind us that it all comes together in Jesus. And it points out that he's not just a good teacher with some interesting ideas. He's actually the Son of God. Today, Jesus and his disciples have an intense experience of holiness. They go up to a mountaintop together to pray. And while they're there, something amazing happens. Jesus prays, and before the disciples' tired, jaded eyes, they see him transfigured. He's changed into an image of glory, glowing, brilliant white. And they even see Jesus talking to people who have long been dead, Elijah and Moses. This great cloud comes and surrounds them, and they hear a voice from above. The disciples have stumbled into an experience of heaven. And it's truly remarkable. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I read this and I'm a little jealous of the disciples, that they got to be that close. They got to see God that close, be that close to holiness. This is not the only time when God rained down heaven in Jesus' life. About 6 chapters ago in Luke, Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And when that happens, a similar thing, the heavens open, and a voice is heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Remember that? It was just a few weeks ago we read that in church. This was Jesus' entrance into public life, a way that he stepped into his role as God's Son. It was one of those epiphanies. So then we fast forward to today's story, and we have a similar statement coming from that big cloud in heaven. "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." It's almost as though Luke has used these two stories as bookends for the season. We begin Epiphany with an affirmation of Jesus' identity, and we end the season with an affirmation of his authority. That voice from heaven reminds the disciples and us that this man is the Son of God. But in the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus is talking to Elijah and Moses about his death, or as the text kind of nicely says today, his departure. For Jesus, death was an ever-present reality, something he walked around with all the time, and the disciples were often oblivious to that. And Jesus knows, he carries with him the knowledge that his role as the Messiah is going to be accomplished through pain, through a painful death in Jerusalem. And when the disciples are clued in to that reality, they, and I think like most of us, are scandalized. They don't want Jesus to die. They've given up their lives to follow him. They believe in the message that he preaches. And so when they have this experience on the mountaintop, they don't go away rejoicing and sharing the good news of what they've seen. The text says that they kept silent and in those days told no one of the things they had seen. They were shaken at their core. It was a pretty frightening moment to hear Jesus talk about death instead of triumph. How could they possibly go from that experience speaking about Jesus' death as a good thing? Whenever we talk about mountaintop experiences in our faith, an image comes to mind of sunshine and gentle breezes and a moment of deep connection to God. But today's mountaintop experience is not that pleasant. The disciples see something that turns their world upside down. They don't have the wisdom to know that what Jesus is talking about is good news, that his suffering and death will ultimately result in a triumph over death itself. They just stand there squinting and lingering and trying to see the whole picture of God. They just can't figure out how to see what Jesus is seeing. It's just too much to take in. And they are being led to view the whole picture of God's glory. And this is complicated knowledge of new life in Jesus Christ. They don't have an appreciation yet for that kind of wisdom. And it's also knowledge that is so wonderful, they could not produce it of their own volition. They had to experience it. The disciples could not force holiness to happen because of their own intelligence or their careful planning or their righteous action. Holiness is a gift. You receive it. You can't create a path toward holiness for yourself, no matter how hard you try. It's created for you. You don't make God appear on your own terms. And that is the gift of the Transfiguration for us today. A reminder of the power of God in an ordinary moment. That once Jesus and his disciples were overcome by an experience of holiness that they did not produce themselves. And it's a powerful experience. It's complicated and hard. And when that full picture emerges, the disciples are shaken at their core. We're about to enter into the season of Lent in just a couple days. This is the time for the church to look inward. It's a season of journeying with Jesus to the cross. And many of us will choose to do various spiritual disciplines for the next 40 days. You might decide to give up food or drink that you like, or maybe you'll decide to take on a practice of prayer every day or giving money to the church. All of these practices are part of Lent. And recently, Lent has kind of shifted and become for us a season of self-improvement. We tend to try to give up things that we probably should be avoiding anyway. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being better human beings, but Lent has a slightly different goal. The focus of Lent is looking for holiness. The focus of Lent is doing things that are complicated and hard so that we might be available to see the whole picture of God's glory emerge. We're removing distraction from our lives so that we might see how God might be speaking in the ordinary moments of our lives. And try as we might, often in Lent, we are a little bit like the disciples, standing and squinting and trying so hard to make that picture emerge. So whatever spiritual discipline you choose, it must draw you back to a place where you can be quiet and still, so that your eyes might be ready to see the whole picture of God. I'd like to challenge you today to consider this gospel lesson of the Transfiguration as you decide what you're going to do this Lent. I'd like all of us to join together as a church to make ourselves available to Transfiguration. We can start by praying and asking God to get our hearts ready to receive that kind of holy gift, that we might be ready to have our whole worlds turned upside down. And we can practice seeing holiness emerge in our world by simplifying our lives, by getting really still and waiting. So choose to do something this season that helps you do that. Give up a favorite food because you're waiting for God. Give up a favorite beverage because you're trying really hard to get quiet and to see holiness. Take on a practice of prayer because you want to walk with Jesus more closely. Take on a habit of giving your money away because you want God to transform you. Let yourself be surprised, even blown away by God's presence. Heaven and earth are really only about 3 feet apart, after all. And God is just waiting to rain down heaven upon us. Amen.